The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this September 27th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Sun is shining. It's another beautiful day in Auburn, Alabama, and we have so much to get to on the program today. Auburn in Oklahoma tomorrow, 2:30, inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium. Do or die. Make or break for Auburn and Hugh Freeze in game 5 of the season. We're going to break it all down for you here on the show today. Plus, talk about all the other crazy games going on around the SEC and in college football. I mentioned I'm Jacob Goetz, and alongside me in the studio, as he is every Monday and Friday, he's wild, he's crazy, he's your favorite Uncle Tebow. My man, great to see you. Happy Friday.
Great to be seen, and happy Friday, Jacob. Happy Friday out on the plains to all you Auburn fans and Oklahoma fans traveling in for the game tomorrow, 2:30 ABC inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. I can't stand it and can't wait for it. Give us a ring at 334-321-1390. That's the phone number to reach us, and you can text us at 334-784-1067. Listen, it's been a tough season so far, Tiger fans, but you got to rally. You got to pull yourself up off the mat. You got to dust yourself off, and you got to get back in the fight. Tomorrow's game is critical. It is critical, not only to this season, probably not only to Hugh Freeze's career at Auburn and how the trajectory of that's going, but to the psyche of the Auburn family, Jacob. This is must-win time. Sad to say in week 5 of a season that it's must-win time, but it's must-win time. It is.
Yeah.
I mean, look at what's ahead of you. If you go down tomorrow at home again to a team that you could beat, maybe even should beat now according to the boys out in Vegas, you travel to Georgia. That could be ugly, especially if you're downtrodden after another loss inside your own stadium. Then you get a bye week. Then you go to Missouri. That's no cakewalk. And then you go to Kentucky, which is a very winnable game and a game Auburn probably normally should win. But who knows what Kentucky's going to have for you then. Heck, I've seen Kentucky look terrible this year. They took Georgia to the brink. And then you got to you come home after that?
Well, finally, you've got, so you've got Georgia on the road, bye week, Missouri on the road, Kentucky on the road.
And then you come home and host Vandy.
Yeah, and Diego Pavia, in case you don't know who that is.
Our old friend, Mr. Diego Pavia, who I am sick and tired of talking about. They better bury him in a month. So it's a tough road. SEC play is here. It's now. Tigers got off to a bad start last Saturday against Arkansas in a sloppy game that they should have won, could have won, refused to win. That cannot happen again tomorrow, Jacob.
No, it can. And so excited to get into all of that today, get into that game, get into other games around the SEC. Working on getting Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. He joins us every Friday to start the show. So working on getting him on the phones. And while we wait, he was 2-3 last week, so not his best week. But he did predict one right.
Yes,
he picked one right, didn't he, Uncle T-Bone? He had you a little nervous last week, this time last Friday, and he picked Arkansas to beat Auburn, and guess what? It happens.
Well, I liked his side of it last week. I had the Tigers winning the game but not covering, so at least I got one out of two, the most important one, some people say. Lee had wrong team favored.
He did.
He got our phones ringing off the hook. He got Auburn fan rattled on a Friday very interested to see what he has to say this week. I've kind of got a feeling he's going to go the other way, Mr. Goins.
Wow. Okay. Well, speaking of that, again, as we are awaiting him to join us on the phones, have you seen some of the movements today out in Las Vegas, Nevada? Some of the numbers have started to shift the other way, and not just for Auburn, Oklahoma, as the Tigers were 2-point underdogs pretty much all week. This was a betting line, of course, for those of you that are into this sort of thing, and for entertainment purposes only.
Obviously.
Yeah, of course. Oklahoma opened as a, 2.5, 3-point favorite. It worked its way down, has sat around 2 for quite some time. And all of a sudden here today, Auburn's a 1-point favorite. Auburn's a 1-point favorite now this on this Friday afternoon as we are 24 hours almost away from kickoff between Auburn and Oklahoma. The Tigers are now the favorite inside of Jordan-Hare Stadium. Not only is that game moving around, Uncle T-Bone, the biggest game of the day happening in Tuscaloosa tomorrow night, all of a sudden, that number for Georgia starts creeping down. They were a 3-point favorite, then a 2-point favorite. Some places have it as a 1-point favorite. Other places, Uncle T-Bone, have it as a pick 'em.
Yeah, I've got a feeling that, I don't know what it is, maybe a sixth sense. Maybe it's just being around for too many years and watching way too much football and wasting way too much of my life and time on it that Alabama's going to open up a can tomorrow on Georgia. Ain't no way the Crimson Tide going to let the dogs roll in with Kirby Smart, Mr. Bowlcut. He's going to pump them inside Bryant-Denny Stadium.
Well, let's get to a guy that could tell us a little bit more about this game, our game, and a lot of other games as Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com joins us on the phone lines. Lee, great to talk to you, my man. Happy Friday.
Same to you. Yeah, we got some good games this weekend. How about the lines that are going on? I mean, there's some places where Auburn is a pick 'em or even -1.
Yeah, that's what we were just talking about. Auburn moving as a favorite. Yep. The Georgia line creeping down a little bit. I mean, lots to discuss on here. And so before we get into the games, as always, tell people where they can find you, what you got going on for this weekend of college football.
Just go to the website, ParamountSports.com. Had a winning Baker's Dozen last weekend. And we don't call it October coming up. We call it Locktober. You can get 5 weeks of games starting tonight all the way through Thursday, October 31st. You're going to generally get 9 to 13 games a week. And we rate them from 10 to 50 units. And our biggest game so far this year goes on Saturday. It's a 45-unit best bet. Ooh. And if you want to get in on it, we're 66-24 in our 40 to 50 unit plays going back the last 15 years. So you want to join us for Locktober, 5 weeks. Use coupon code SAVE200, just $347. ParamountSports.com.
Boom. How about that? Locktober right around the corner, and you can get in on the action with Lee Sterling, the best in the business at ParamountSports.com. Let's jump into these games, my man, because I've got to start with one that I mentioned on the show yesterday, and it really is hard to believe that in an SEC matchup, newly teamed Texas against bottom feeder Mississippi State, is this line correct? 38-point favorite for the Longhorns in this game, Lee. What is going on?
And we never thought we'd see something like this. Mississippi State was always respectable. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, now their best quarterback that came over from Baylor, he's done for the year. They're going to play a young kid that's going to get thrown to the wolves. It's different when you come into a game and you're cold and the team can't prepare for you. And the other team's up, and, yeah, they're going to play some soft zones. Not the case here. I think Texas is going to come after them and force them into some errors. And Mississippi State likes to play quick. I mean, hurry up. If you don't have better talent, you want to have less possessions here. Texas just loaded at quarterback, loaded every skill position. And these teams like Ole Miss and Texas and Ohio State are blowing out opponents here. We're going to lay the points here. Texas 61-7.
Bloodbath alert in Austin, Texas. Lee Sterling, I got to agree with you. That's going to be a wood piling, wood shedding, whatever you want to call it from the get-go. Yep. Number 189, number 190 in the official Nevada rotation. 2:30 tomorrow over, I believe, on ESPN. Those Hogs, you call them Locktober. They came in here to Auburn and made it a Rocktober for them. They'll be catching a few points with their old friends down in College Station, Texas A&M minus four versus Arkansas.
And Texas A&M has just dominated the series. They've won 11 of the last 12 games these SEC games. So it's going to be tough for Arkansas. Now, Arkansas likes to run the football, averaging 240 yards per game. Texas A&M, they like to stop the run. That's their strength, allowing just a little over 120 yards per game rushing. Also, 22 tackles for loss. So they get a lot of penetration. When I watch Arkansas, they just, unless they're blowing out a team, they just find ways to lose games. And this, I think, is probably going to be one of them here. Special teams might also favor Texas A&M. I'm going to take the Aggies here. I think they win this game, cover 27-20.
Taking the Aggies in Jerry World, this game being played neutral site as it is every year, Texas A&M and Arkansas. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports with us here on ESPN 106.7. Kentucky looked terrible a couple of weeks ago against South Carolina, then bounced back and had multiple chances to take down Georgia just a couple of weeks ago. They welcome in the Rebels of from Oxford. It's Ole Miss. They're getting 17 points here. High-flying offense versus just a massive question mark on for Kentucky.
Yeah. If Kentucky's in the game, I mean, then they don't have to deviate from their game plan. But if they fall behind, have to throw the ball, let's say 70-75% of the time, I think they're in real trouble. Ole Miss, you know, we're seeing these teams, these offenses are just having their way. I think eventually Lane Kiffin and Jackson Dart will have a game. I don't know who it's going to be against. It might be Georgia, where they just score 10 to 17 points, and they can't do anything right, and they just fall apart. I just don't think this is the game. Even though Kentucky's held every quarterback under 170 yards, even Carson Beck, but Carson Beck is a drop-back passer. Jackson Dart's different, totally different offense here. All four of Kentucky's games so far this year have been home games. It's going to be on the road. Jackson Dart's averaging a 388 yards per game passing. He's averaging three touchdown passes per game. He's already run for three touchdowns. He's averaging putting up 55 points a game here. Mm. If they got to fall behind, Kentucky's going to be in real trouble here. I like Ole Miss here. I think they win this game easy. Katie barred the door, 48-14.
And that game is in Oxford. Apologies, I thought it was Lexington. That game is in Oxford, so Kentucky going on the road to number six Ole Miss.
Lee, Donald John Trump, and the rest of the MAGA free world invading Tuscaloosa, Alabama, our good friends on the western side of the state tomorrow night. The Dogs come a-barking to town against Alabama and the Crimson Tide, 6:30 on ABC for the rest of the free world to watch. This is going to be a crazy atmosphere, line kind of jumping around, but Georgia's still favored. Who do you got in this one?
Yeah, so if I'm going to a game, I'm going to an Alabama-Georgia game, I'm not having McDonald's. I'm not having Domino's pizza. I'm ordering, like, what? Would you go with Dreamland?
Ooh.
I mean, you got to go with barbecue. Am I correct?
Yeah.
I just didn't understand his order. So that might be a problem here. You got some really good quarterbacks. I mean, Carson Beck's probably going top five in the draft. Jalen Milroe, one of the best dual threat quarterbacks. Georgia, they play like five running backs. They mix and match, and they do a pretty good job of it. And Alabama, they're going to play probably two guys, and Jam Miller and Justice Haynes. I think all those guys are going to kind of cancel themselves out. I think the guy that's going to make a difference in this game is a 17-year-old Ryan Williams. I mean, this kid reclassified. He doesn't turn 18 until February. Of his 10 catches, four have been touchdowns. I think that Georgia thought that maybe Dominic Lovett, he was going to be the guy that was going to step into the breach, or maybe Colby Young from Miami. I just think these two guys are number twos, and I don't know if the moment might be too big for them. And on top of that, when top five teams have matched up, the home team has won 17 of the 27 games here. Wrong team favored. Roll Tide, Alabama, 27-24.
Whoa! How about that? Taking Alabama to take down Georgia inside of Bryant-Denny Stadium at Nick Saban Field. Lee Sterling from ParamountSports.com. One more game, my friend, the one we are concerned with here on the Plains. Auburn trying to find a way to keep their head above water. They welcome in the Sooners of Oklahoma, who struggled with Tennessee last week and just couldn't find the offensive firepower to get past the Vols. Oklahoma has been favored pretty much all day, Lee, but that line starting to move around a little bit too. Your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, both teams could end up playing two quarterbacks again. I mean, it's crazy. You know, this early in the season, there's already been shuffling both sides. It looks like Oklahoma almost for sure is going to go with Michael Hawkins. He looked good in the game last week when he came in. But remember, Tennessee was protecting an almost 3-touchdown lead. And he didn't have time to get nervous, just went in there, did his job, and looked pretty good. But now a team's going to be able to prepare for him, get some tape on him. They're going to prepare some blitz packages. And he's now down. His top five receivers are not going to play in the game. His offensive line is trash. The defense is good. They're respectable. If Auburn can get any kind of quarterback play, just average, they're going to win this game. It's not going to be high scoring. We're going to go with Auburn 20, Oklahoma 13.
Finally, Lee Sterling in my lifetime picks Auburn to win, because he's 12-0, it feels like, against the Tigers. So let's get it 1-0 tomorrow. Thank you, Lee, and everyone here in Auburn, Alabama. Thanks you so much,
welcome,
my friend.
I've got to call it the way I see it, though.
Yeah.
They're not very happy with me. I did a show earlier today in Norman, Oklahoma. I can tell you that.
Hey, money talks and Sooners walk is what I say. Lee, you've been on fire. You had the Baker's Dozen last weekend. You got Locktober rolling now, offering up a free play with Atlanta. Give us a plug on that, and give us a plug over at ParamountSports.com.
Yep. Anyone wants to come on board, love to have you. And you want to get the free play, Atlanta, the Falcons in New Orleans, probably one of the biggest games of the year for both of these two teams. We'll be waiting by for your call. First five callers to call 800-400-9741. Get Atlanta and New Orleans on me. First five callers to call here, we will give you Atlanta and New Orleans. 800-400-9741. I'll speak to you personally, tell you about my program, and hopefully the free game can make you some money. And if you want to hop on board, this is the time. I mean, we got UFC going from Paris, starts at 11 a.m. tomorrow morning. We've got baseball playoffs starting up. UFC, five selections, $35. You want to get the baseball through the World Series, $77. And like I said, Locktober, normally $547, just $347. One place, ParamountSports.com.
The man, the myth, the legend, Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports at ParamountSports.com. My man, we always appreciate you and your time. Always a blast talking with you, talking ball. We appreciate it. Have a fantastic weekend, and we'll have you again on next Friday.
You too. Take care.
Thanks so much. Lee Sterling, check him out, Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. How about that, Uncle T-Bone? He's got Bama winning. He's got Auburn winning this weekend here on the Plains.
When it comes to him picking Auburn, if he were to tell you that the moon was made of cheese, Auburn fans, you'd ask whether it's mozzarella or Parmesan. He's been like 35-0 picking Auburn games, all against Auburn since I've been on the radio. And finally, you can let go of that steering wheel so hard while he's driving. Take a deep breath, Auburn fan. Lee Sterling, lead pipe, Locktober. Auburn takes care of business, winning the game outright against Oklahoma, and boy, do we need it.
Our friend Eric in Auburn texts us. He says, well, Lee picked us looking for signs of the apocalypse. That's exactly right. Well, hey, as Lee Sterling says, he calls it as he sees it, and he's got Auburn winning this weekend. We'll have more on that. College football, a whole lot more here on the Friday edition of On the Line. It continues after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. We appreciate Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com joining us as he does every single Friday to get us started. Had some great picks for college football.
this weekend. And he's got a free play that you can get in on if you want to give him a call. So we appreciate him joining us as he does every single Friday. Phone lines are open today, 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to us, 334-321-1390. Or you can shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067. Let's get to the phone lines today. Terry, you're on the line, my man. How are you?
Good, Jacob. How you and T-Bone doing today?
Doing okay. Sun is shining and can't complain too much yet.
So we're going into a must-win switch situation tomorrow with Captain Turnover, Peyton Thorne.
That seems to be the case.
Okay. Yeah, and T-Bone, before Trump comes to Tuscaloosa, him and Pelosi are going to have lunch together too.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah. That's I don't know. Here's a guy throwing 5 interceptions. Yeah, I just don't understand that. I just don't understand that. But look, cut out the turnovers, okay, I'll give you that. You're right. You're 100% right. But do they really think they can beat Oklahoma, that defense, with Peyton Thorne? I mean, let's call it like this. This guy's a fifth-year senior and making freshman mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, he's made plenty of them this year. I really don't know what the alternative, though, going into this game is. I bet the coaching staff would love any suggestions.
And that's my problem is if you start Hank Brown, I mean, look – I'm all for giving a guy a second chance, third chance, like it, especially for Hank Brown, who, yes, against Arkansas was deer in the headlights and had a couple of bad plays and just did not play well. And the easy line of thinking is, well, man, if he can't do it against Arkansas, he definitely can't do it against Oklahoma. But if all you gave him was one half, that was his only shot, and we write him off into the history books, like, I don't think that that's totally correct either, but... And I think that's why this coaching staff, Terry, and I think a lot of the fans as well are just up in arms trying to figure out what to do.
Three interceptions, correct?
Yes. He replaced him at halftime.
Well, I mean, two of those interceptions from Peyton Thorne were balls thrown right on the money to Cam Coleman, or close enough to the money that it hit him right in the hands and deflected off of him.
Yeah. Well, you say something about Hank Brown's pass was deflected by a linebacker.
So, I mean, you would rather start Hank Brown tomorrow?
I think he gives them a better chance to move the ball and fluently, and he will not take sacks, and that's what Peyton Thorne will do. He will take a sack.
So I think if Auburn's going to roll with Thorne tomorrow, that they're going to have to modify this offense a little bit and go back to what they did successfully with him last year, that speed the offense up and go to a true run pass, RPO run heavy option where he is giving the ball to the tailback or taking it around the corner like he did against Georgia. That is where he gets into rhythm, and that's where his strengths are. If they drop him back continually into a pocket and expect him to hit high-risk, high-reward passes without turnover, I'm afraid you're right. That's not going to be a good idea.
Would they just refuse to go to a short passing game and do that, team, on your opinion?
You know, I don't know. I mean, the Cam Coleman, the two passes to Cam Coleman were short passes. They were short slants that, for whatever reason, he not only didn't catch, deflected way up like a volleyball ready to be spiked. But I'm with you, and I've been saying this, and I caught some grief out there. I heard from some folks saying that I was saying that we needed to completely change the Auburn offense, which is fake news. Never said it, but I do think that it should be changed. To an extent, I think they should speed up at times, trying to create some mismatches like that. Another quarterback, you're changing it. But, yeah, modify it, make adjustments. Those are changes, right? You should be doing that from week to week, no matter who you're playing, and if it's not working from game to game. You said it, though, the modification, the change, whatever you want to call it. I said that to start that Arkansas game. Why not start – if you got a quarterback who's inexperienced like Hank Brand back there in SEC play with some easier, smaller, short passes, specifically some slip screens and some throws out of the backfield.
Yeah, if they're gonna start Captain Turnover, they better modify it.
Well,
have a good weekend, guys.
Yep, thanks, Terry. Appreciate the call. It is reported that he is starting. Peyton Thorne is set to get the start against Oklahoma tomorrow. So whether fans like it or not, that's who's starting. And here's what we can't have, and John, please, if you're able to hold on, we got about a minute before the break, so if you need to call back, you can, but we're going to get to you as soon as we can. Here's the problem, and here's the fact of the matter here, is I don't care, and I said this yesterday, I don't care if it's Peyton Thorne, Hank Brown, Holden Garner, Walker White, Hugh Freeze, Derek Nix, or Uncle T-Bone that starts at quarterback tomorrow. Auburn's got to find somebody who can play quarterback, as Hugh Freeze has been quoted as saying, don't throw it to the other team, and just find the one. Find the quarterback, because we can't go into this game tomorrow and have Peyton Thorne on a short leash where then he performs mediocre and we put Hank Brown back in the ballgame.
Oh,
now,
gosh,
if Peyton Thorne throws three interceptions, then yeah, you're probably going to have to make a change. And I'm tired of this, man. I'm tired of flipping back and forth and trying to figure out who's going to be the starter and play the Gus Malzahn three quarterback system. I don't want to do that anymore. But we're going to find out. I think tomorrow's a really good test of what Auburn is made of in that quarterback room. And I think we're going to find out if that quarterback exists, if he's on the roster. And if he's not, Auburn's in big trouble. Auburn's in big trouble. And I'm not just talking about tomorrow, folks. I'm talking about against Georgia and Missouri and Kentucky. Yes, against Vanderbilt, against Texas A&M, and against Alabama. Don't worry. You won't have to worry about any sort of a bowl game. You won't be playing in one. If you don't go find somebody right now in this room who can step up and be the man, Auburn is doomed.
I mean, very well said. You know, but I think that Peyton, you got to go with Peyton Thorne tomorrow, right? I mean, you can roll out Hank Brown out there tomorrow and he throws three picks in the first half again. He's never going to play again.
We'll talk more about it when we come back. John, hold on. You'll be first up when we come back here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line.
On the Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goetz. Let's continue to get to the phone line, 334-321-1390. John in Auburn, you're on the line, my man. Thanks for holding on.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday. Happy Friday.
Yes,
sir. Had a comment and then kind of a comment question on Auburn football here.
Yeah, go for it.
So one thing I didn't hear a lot about after the game Saturday, it seemed to me that it was almost too scripted, our little sets and all that we would run for Malcolm Simmons. I would love to see a little more creativity with that this week in the game plan.
I do too, man. I've been on the Malcolm Simmons train since the summer. I mean, this kid is electric, and there's got to be something, you know, we heard Free say that there's a package now for Malcolm Simmons and he's got set plays now and yada, 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 which is great, but there has to be a little flexibility with that there, right, John? And I think that's what you're talking about, is willing to call it in different situations, not in the first, you know, scripted 15 plays of the game or whatever the case may be. I mean, have that in your back pocket. Or how about just throw him the football since he's a receiver? What a crazy idea that is. I mean, get the ball in his hands.
The plays to him just seemed really telegraphed to me. I don't know if that's how they came across to you.
Well, here's the thing. If we can see it from the stands or the box or the TV on what's about to happen, the defense can see what's about to happen. And you've got to catch them off guard, because if you do, Malcolm Simmons will outrun everybody.
Agreed. But here's my question real quick. So let me transfer to basketball here.
Okay.
If a team has a poor point guard, let's say Auburn basketball has a poor point guard, and he doesn't do anything offensively, he keeps turning it over in front court, I mean, that's not a thing where you say, you know, let's get Bruce Pearl out of here. It's, hey, you know, let's run Aiden Holloway out of town. How is this coming back to the coaching staff on the quarterbacks? I feel like we've got a bad quarterback room, like we had a bad point guard
exactly
Aiden Holloway.
I'll tell you exactly why they're catching heat on that, and it's because fans, pundits, anyone who follows Auburn football or college football seriously questioned at the end of last season why in the world Coach Freeze and this staff did not go out and get a transfer quarterback option. And his exact words, and we trusted him because you should trust your coach and your leadership, were, we're going to be all right.
Peyton's progressed, basically. He's watching film. We trust him. He's got this. And that's why.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why. And there's only so many options, right? I mean, there's only so many options. And historically, since Peyton Thorne's been here, since Hugh Freeze has gotten here, in Auburn losses specifically, but even in some of the wins, it's been the same issues over and over and over again. You know, is it the chicken or the egg here? Or is it both? So, you know, one thing we know is the quarterback play has not been substandard. And the coaching staff trusted that the quarterback play would get better under their tutelage over the offseason. And quite frankly, it has not. And that's why that discussion is being had.
That's a fair point. And if it doesn't get better, this will be a Florida thing where it's been 15 years and they're still looking for Tebow.
Yeah. And I mean, you could, I don't think Auburn's to that point yet, but I get what you're saying. It could be. It could spiral into that if you don't go and land, whether it be a transfer portal superstar or a high school stud. You know what I mean? Like, you have to go and find that. And I'll add to that too, John. Hugh Freeze, when he was hired here, right, was considered this quarterback whisperer, right? I mean, he made Bo Wallace look good. He made Malik Willis, who couldn't do anything here, he made him into an NFL quarterback at Liberty, right? I mean, he's had these guys that he has developed and made better in their college careers. And I know Hugh Freeze hasn't been here very long, but this was the year that Peyton Thorne was supposed to take that next step under Hugh Freeze. He told us it was going to happen. He believed it was going to happen. And the problem is, it just hasn't happened. And so I think that's another big reason why Hugh Freeze is catching a lot of heat for this.
I can say that. I will say this, and I'll let you go. I do think anything north of about 3-9 or 4-8, I think Freeze is absolutely safe for year three.
I agree with that, and I think he should be. Unless this just turns into some type of situation where it's evident he's not doing everything he can off the field like Brian Harsin was to improve this roster and program, which translated completely on the field, then I'm with you. And Coach Freeze and the staff worked way too hard. This is a big rebuild. Now, do I think that they should have progressed a little bit more? We're going to find out tomorrow once and for all. So I'm with you on that. I think that any kind of talk like that, no matter what happens the rest of this year, unless the team just completely quits and so does the staff off the field, is outrageous.
Agreed. War Eagle, guys. Have a good game.
Thanks so much.
Have a good day.
Yep. Thanks so much, John. Appreciate the call. Appreciate you holding on through the break and hanging around with us. 334-321-1390. Phone lines are open today. Want to hear from you, or you can shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067. And that's what brings all of this into full circle, right, is the fact that Auburn goes into this game tomorrow. You're 2-2 this season. 2-2. We were talking this summer and this fall about how Auburn could be 4-0. Imagine. Let's play the what-if game for a second. Right? No shock there. What if Auburn was 4-0 walking into this game tomorrow? They would feel pretty good about themselves. They would feel good and feel like they had a really good chance to win, be 5-0, and go play Georgia, who has already proven that they're gettable, who has proven that they are good, but not as good as they have been. Doesn't mean they won't get there, but they aren't right now. And we're going to find out a lot about them on Saturday night in Tuscaloosa. But if Auburn was 4-0 here, and you're welcoming Oklahoma for their second SEC game after just getting beat down by Tennessee a week ago, and oh, by the way, Oklahoma is missing their top five wide receivers, starting a freshman quarterback on the road, and yeah, their defense is nasty, but their offense isn't going to do squat. Auburn would feel really good about being 5-0 come Saturday night and come Monday afternoon when we stepped in this studio. But that's not where we are. And we can play that game as long as we want, and we got to bring it back to reality. And that reality is Auburn has to win on Saturday. And we hear that all the time. Must win game, has to win, this is do or die, right? You hear that, and then you have fans who say, well, what does that mean? What does that mean that Hugh Freeze has to win against Oklahoma? Technically, he doesn't. What happens if Auburn loses? Auburn goes to 2-3, most likely 2-4, most likely 2-5. before you go to Lexington.
And then all the work that you've done off the field in recruiting has the possibility, now it is a what if, of unraveling.
Which is why you have to win. Those are the things that if you don't win, winning and losing a game, a football game in particular, goes so far beyond a W or an L.
Well, I think in this circumstance, it's because against a big-time blue-blood opponent under Hugh Freeze, Auburn is still looking for proof of concept. And you're selling the dream to all these recruits, and it's a good dream, and there's a lot to back it up. It's not like Auburn's some kind of horrible historic program. This is a top 15 program nationally of all time. This is one of the original six in the SEC of when the conferences split. I mean, they're on a different elite level historically, but that's slipping away year after year after year of mediocrity. And it's hard to continue to pitch that winning story on the recruiting trail when you can't go out there and take care of business. And when you put it like you just did, should take care of business with how wounded our Oklahoma is, starting a freshman quarterback. You know, big time, big money people also want to see a proof of concept. If we go out there and fumble and bumble and mumble our way around the stadium, our home turf again on ABC on national television and get punked by a wounded Sooner team that's very vulnerable here, big time money people begin, in my opinion, to wonder, should I hold off on these donations a little bit till I see more? And that kind of revenue, that kind of support is the lifeblood of NIL. And not only high school recruiting now, but whether or not you're going to go out and have enough money to get a big-time quarterback in the portal, which is going to obviously happen next year.
Let's go ahead and take an early break because I want to wrap up hour number one. Auburn University volleyball coach Brent Crouch stopped by earlier today. Him and I had a great conversation as they open up SEC play. That's a volleyball program that's 10-1 right now, ladies and gentlemen. And they open up SEC play tonight at Neville Arena with a top 15 team in the Kentucky Wildcats. Alabama is here this weekend as well. We'll have that for you as we wrap up hour number one. We'll get to hour number two, make our picks, predictions for all the games around the SEC. That's here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. And it's been a while, but as the fall sports are in full swing, excited to get this guy back in the studio. He is the head coach of Auburn University Volleyball. Head coach Brent Crouch joining us on ESPN 106.7. Coach, great to see you again, man. I hope you're doing well.
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, there's so much to get to and to really recap from what's been a great start to the season for you and your squad. It's a team night now in Auburn that you are opening up SEC play tonight against Kentucky. We're going to get to that in just a little bit, but 10-1 overall this season. The only loss was to a top 20 team in Minnesota. So kind of recap for the people that have been keeping up with it, but maybe not 100% up to date on what you guys have been up to so far with your 10-1 overall record.
Yeah, well, it's real important for us to come out with a good record in non-conference to set us up for a nice run in the SEC, and most importantly, to get us in the right range from the RPI and what's called KPI ranking so we can make the NCAA tournament at the end. So being 10-1 with a win over Florida State, I think they're 16 or 17 right now. Mm. That's a huge win with the rankings. Did lose to Minnesota on the road. They are ranked 16th currently, but they are much better than that. They just took out number 6 Wisconsin last night. They're going to be moving up the rankings. Those are the two top teams we played, and so we're 1-1 against top 20 teams, which is great. Took care of business with everybody else, and actually, as the projected rankings right now, we're 8 in the KPI and 7 in the RPI nationally.
How about that?
That's fantastic. That number is going to settle a little bit as you get further into the season.
Sure.
I don't expect us, you know, to necessarily be there.
Especially in the SEC, too.
Especially in the SEC. But I do expect us to make the NCAA tournament again this year. That'd be the third year in a row. And having a great non-conference season, you know, is a big part of that.
Well, what I notice when you look at some of the results from your non-conference schedule, take out the loss, of course, and all of the wins, nobody won two sets on you. Nobody got past a single set. You guys took care of business, either 3-0 clean sweeps or 3-1 dominant victories. I mean, what does that tell you about what this team is capable of doing offensively and defensively?
Well, you're exactly right. I'm glad you pointed that out. We had more sweeps in non-conference this year than we did all of last year or any year. I mean, for the entire season, we're already ahead of 3-0.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and our set win percentage, I think we're at 83% set win.
I think that's good.
That's really good. Last year, I think we were in the 70s. So, you know, we got to play the games and see what happens the rest of the way. But it certainly puts us, you know, I feel really confident about where we are with that kind of win percentage and not having ups and downs where we're going five sets with people and having to scrape it out at the end. I mean, we really, really were taking care of business.
Which, and there's nothing wrong with having some of those matches every now and then, right, where you get down to it, five set. I mean, you're going to have some of those in the SEC more than likely. But for you to just have a squad that is rolling right now to get SEC play started, tell us a couple of players that people need to keep an eye on, who they should know about as SEC play starts for you.
Well, they should definitely know about Madison Shear. She was all freshman SEC as a freshman. As a sophomore, she was first team all SEC, and she was voted first team SEC in the preseason this year. Again, she's doing a fabulous job on the outside, leading us in kills. Lauren Dreeves is a freshman who plays the same position. You roll out with two outside hitters in volleyball, and she has been an unbelievable addition to the squad. And somebody to look forward to watching the next 4 years, especially as she, I mean, she's already fantastic, but where she's going to be as a junior and senior is going to be off the charts. And then, you know, honestly, we've got so many good people on our team. We're running an offense called a 6-2 offense where you use multiple setters and you get to use more hitters. So we have 10 people going in and out of these games instead of the usual like 7 or 8. And everyone is critical. Bella Bell on the right side is doing great. Belle Zimmerman's doing great. Our two setters, Peyton Dunn and Kaylee Edson's a freshman, doing a great job. Just lots of people playing. And that's really the name of the story, I think, for this year is we've got a really good all-around team on the court, and lots of people are contributing.
With so many players being involved, is that from a depth perspective of we just have that many good players, or is it, hey, we need to kind of rest people since we're getting into SEC play, we just want to have as many people as we can?
You know, the resting is really just kind of a side benefit. Get some rest. It is great that they're not getting as much wear and tear on them. Really, it's just about we've got a lot of really good players, and there are certain ways to use that many good players. Again, it's a 6-2. It basically means we always have three hitters in the front row all the time. And if you're running what's called a 5-1, you've got one setter. When that setter gets into the front row, you lose one of your hitters in the front row. Mm. And so you only have two. So, I don't think it takes a math genius to think that, you know, three is better than two. It's just, you know, let's get more wide receivers out there. That's basically what's happening. Right. And it just makes it harder on the defense. It takes a while to kind of recruit a team that gets deep enough to where you can do this. And I think a lot of coaches would like to run 6-2s, but it's just so hard to build it from a recruiting standpoint. The fact that we've got so many good players and we can do this is a testament to where this program is headed.
Auburn Volleyball, Brent Crouch joining us, the head coach of Auburn Volleyball, with us on ESPN 106.7. SEC play starts tonight. A ranked team in the Kentucky Wildcats, number 12. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, number 12. In the rankings that are coming in to Neville Arena, and then Alabama this weekend as well. We'll get to them in just a second. But what does it mean for you and your program to be starting off SEC play with such a great squad, probably one of the best in the entire country?
It's great. You know, I mean, I think we feel confident. I think, you know, they're gettable. You know, Kentucky is, despite the ranking. I like that we've got experience beating a top 16 team in Florida State.
Right.
And then, you know, have a good matchup against Minnesota. So we're not going to see a lot of stuff that we haven't seen before. It's just going to be, hey, can we handle our business and receive serves well, serve tough. We really lean on the crowd at Neville. The crowds have been growing over the years. And it's great to play a team like Kentucky early on rather than later, I think. We want to play the best teams as soon as we can, and that really just tells us areas besides, you know, if we can win, that'd be great, right? That's always the goal, but when you play the best teams, they always show you the areas you need to get better in, and it's better to know that early than to know it late. So we like that for sure.
Well, speaking of late, this match is a little bit later, too. 8 o'clock tonight, Central Time. It is the SEC opener after dark, is how Auburn has kind of sold this. I mean, it could be a very unique sort of thing for fans to come out late after the sun goes down and everybody get inside of Neville Arena and have a really good time, huh?
Absolutely. It should be a great time. Again, just a great matchup. We're 27th right now in the voting, the poll. I think we're better than that, you know, given the folks that we've beaten. But, you know, top 25 matchup, that's basically what this is. And doing it at home. And we know how great Neville Arena is as just a venue.
Right.
And, yeah, after dark makes it even more special. We got football tomorrow versus Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. It's just a great weekend of sports and lots of things to go do.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say, is it parlays together really well with you guys on Friday night, football Saturday, and then you guys are back in action on Sunday as well. I mean, there are going to be a lot of people in town for these events. And so, yeah, you absolutely should get out to Neville Arena. Volleyball plays Kentucky tonight, 8 o'clock there at Neville. And then Sunday for rivalry day, rivalry night, I guess, Alabama is here for a matchup, 4 o'clock Central Time inside of Neville Arena. What can you tell us about the Crimson Tide this year?
Crimson Tide, I think, are on the upswing a little bit. They've struggled a little bit the last couple years, and we've had their number in particular. I hope that continues. I expect
right.
it to, with the talent that we have and the way we've been playing. But they just played Tennessee Wednesday night. They lost, but they did go 5. And you know, it's hard to go 5 with it. You know, Tennessee is ranked top 20 right now, and so they pushed them pretty far. I think this team has improved from where they've been the last couple of years. They've got some new players. The coach has been there 3 years now, which means she's got more of her own recruits there. And it's always just, you never know what happens with Alabama, right?
Right.
It's just rivalry week. It could go either way. But we'll for sure be excited to play them.
And you know firsthand what it's like to step in and try to build a program, rebuild a program, and you've done such a phenomenal job. That's something I talk about it all the time. It's just, I admire where I could see when you stepped in, where it was and where it was going, and now here you are. Auburn is a, as you said, top 25 program in college volleyball and playing some of the biggest matches in the country. So you have firsthand knowledge on how that goes, especially on the volleyball side of things.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, it's hard. It's really hard, and you know, all the fans are you know, they're so great and they support us, but they also want, you know, they don't want to wait 5 years to get good, right? So you know, I know Freeze is doing a great job right now recruiting. We all want to win more right early on. He's in year 2, right? It is, I mean, our year 2, we were not winning a lot of matches in our year 2. Same with Alabama. You know, they struggled those the first and second years for her, but like I said, they pushed Tennessee and they're moving in the right direction. And you know, despite things like the transfer portal and NIL and all of that stuff, it just takes what it takes to rebuild a program, and it's just not overnight.
And you see that in fans, but I want to ask you this. Have you, or I guess early on in your career when you were building it, and still building right now, of course, but do you see that in the players sometimes? Do you see them getting over eager or wanting to win right away or getting early results and not trusting the process, if you will?
I think it's hard to trust the process when the process is not something that's visible day to day. You know, you can't tell you got better in one day. I mean, maybe you've got an insight here or there, you did something a little bit better, but you know, real improvement takes, you know, I mean, it's a year, you know, for a player to really, you know, I do this a lot with them. I'll show them video of when they came in, and then a year later, I'll show them a video again.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, look what you're doing then, look what you're doing now. But those little minute changes, just, they don't happen quickly. And it's hard when you're in the slog there and you're trying to win, and maybe you're getting close, but everyone's impatient. At players, coaches, fans, we all want to win. We all want to win right this second.
Yep.
And if we could make the process a lot faster, I think everybody would certainly do that. But it's just not how it works in the world.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
On the line, live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number 2 on the free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go back and listen to it in the podcast version. We just take the show, upload it on our station website for you. You can go back and listen to that at ESPNAU.com. In hour number one, we started the show, as we do every Friday, with Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. He gave us his picks for Texas, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, Arkansas, Auburn and Oklahoma, and Alabama and Georgia. So some prizes in there from Lee Sterling. Auburn fans may want to go check it out if you missed it from hour number one. So that was in there. T-Bone and I had some phone calls that we took as well. Started talking, of course, Auburn and Oklahoma. And then Auburn University volleyball coach stopped by. Brent Crouch joined us in hour number one as well. He was in studio and had him talking about the volleyball team as they start SEC play tonight, 8 o'clock inside of Neville Arena. Free admission to number 12, Kentucky. So all of that was in hour number one. Here in hour number two, about to dive into some of our picks around the SEC, college football, and then deep dive into Auburn and Oklahoma. As news continues to come out about this game and who's starting, who's in, who's out, all that type of stuff, we're talking about that here in hour number two. Before we get into content, though, I want to remind you that hour number two each and every day is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them bringing you the second hour of our show each and every day between 3 and 4 p.m. here on ESPN. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. Your picks, predictions for Auburn, Oklahoma, Alabama, Georgia, any other game going on around college football, we want to hear from you, 334-321-1390, or you can shoot me a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. Uncle T-Bone, let's jump into this thing, my man. Let's start talking some college football and games around the SEC. You can do it along with us if you're sitting at your computer on the SEC Football Challenge. That is on our station website as well at ESPNAU.com. I just want to make it known, I'm sitting in second place, sitting pretty in the SEC Football Challenge. 44 out of 51 correct picks. I am second place. The winners are at 45, so I'm right there for the taking, ladies and gentlemen. Just want everybody to know that. And the SEC Football Challenge is brought to you by University Ace Hardware, Johnny Brusco's New York Style Pizza, and the Orthopedic Clinic. Weekly prizes for the best winner or the best picker that week, and then a grand prize by all three of those sponsors at the very end. So let's jump into it for week 5 of college football, and we'll start with the game that kicks everything off at 11 a.m., Kentucky. On the road in Oxford, Ole Miss getting 17.5 points as a favorite. Any chance Kentucky comes out and can slow down Jackson Dart?
I think there is a chance in that. I mean, that early in the morning, is Lane Kiffin just going to be getting the cobwebs out from being out all night?
I mean, coffee will be pouring, baby.
The coffee, he's going to need a double Bloody Mary. He'll have the shakes. You know, Mark Stoops is a pretty dang good coach. Ole Miss has been very explosive. I think they can take care of this game. But, you know, I would not be shocked if Kentucky slowed them down a little bit. Got a solid defensive front up there.
I think so. I mean, they slowed down that Georgia offense and had every chance to beat that Georgia team. I'm going to take Ole Miss.
Sure.
I think they probably will pull away late with the spread. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'll take Ole Miss to cover, but I will definitely take Ole Miss to win outright. You have them winning too?
I do.
Okay. All right. We talked to Lee Sterling about this game. Mississippi State and Texas. This is the Longhorns' SEC opener now. This is their opener in the SEC. First game they've ever played as an SEC team against another SEC team. And I don't know who they made happy at the SEC or in the SEC offices, but for it to be Mississippi State as your SEC opener, come on. Give me a break. This line is at 37.5 points. And there are people like Lee Sterling who think Texas is going to cover.
Yeah, I mean, he's got them in the Locktober free picks, right?
Yeah.
At the beginning of the show. I agree with him. Bloodbath alert. I mean, there is no excuse for Texas to even be close in this game. Mississippi State's horrible. This is the type of program in college football that is definitely at risk of being left behind by the rest of the college football world. I mean, there's just permanently going to be big winners and big losers in the new landscape of college football with the expansion of the SEC, with what I one day see is a 48-team or 64-team new league, minor league, whatever you want to call it. And Mississippi State's one of those programs. It's imperative for a program like that not to fall so far behind, and they're just getting buried. When Florida buries you at home, when you lose to Toledo and get buried by the Rockets at home, what do you think that Sark's going to do to you?
It's going to be bad. Do you have that going down whatever quarterback starts for Texas, if Quinn Ewers does come back healthy, or if it's Arch Manning?
Yeah, I mean, what a luxury to have.
And what a crazy conversation. There are people that are asking the question, if Quinn Ewers comes back healthy, who do you start? I'm sorry, what?
You start Quinn Ewers.
You start Quinn Ewers.
Right.
You don't. Thanks, Arch, for your service. You'll be up next year. We've got Quinn Ewers right now. He's our guy.
What a luxury for them to get quality practice time for him, right? For Arch Manning. I'm with you. I don't think this is a situation where it's Drew Brees and Tom Brady. I mean, you know, Quinn Ewers gets the ball back in his hands.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I have Texas winning. Most people do. Arkansas and Texas A&M, a team that Auburn saw last week, the other team that they'll see later on in the year. Arkansas has every chance to be 4-0 this season. They dropped the ball against Oklahoma State, came in and did their thing against Auburn a week ago. Texas A&M, somehow Uncle T-Bone is still a top 25 team. I don't really know how. They haven't done anything, I don't think, but they are 1-0 in the SEC, and now they take on Arkansas inside of Jerry's World, Dallas, Texas, tomorrow afternoon.
Kind of like A&M here to go to 2-0.
Really?
Arkansas, wow. With a very physical game against Auburn on the road, have to travel back home, then travel down to Dallas, Texas. I know it's not very far from Vietnam, but I will say this. That was a big boy, big hitting game against Auburn last week. Whether you want to talk about Auburn, how Auburn should have won the game, whatever, those teams were getting after it. And now you got to go up against a old Southwestern Conference rival, which has kind of dominated you. I really like Texas A&M here.
Well, speaking of Dallas, shout out to your Cowboys who got back in the win column last night. It didn't look pretty,
barely,
but they did. They took on New York, and if the Giants had any pulse on offense, they win that game.
I mean, Daniel Jones, Malik Nabers, they're brutal.
They're good. Dallas is just, I don't know. Dallas's defense got torched a week ago. Torched. They only gave up 15 points.
Whatever. Man, moving on along. I thought we were talking about college football today.
I'm going to take Arkansas to take down Texas A&M. I think Arkansas has built a little momentum. I think they have some confidence, and I think they are just going to continue to do what they do. I'm not impressed with Texas A&M at all. The fact that they're still a top 25 team is baffling to me. Wrong team favored for me. I'm taking Arkansas to outright win the football game. Weird things happen in this matchup. There's been some crazy endings, crazy plays in these two when these two teams get together there in Dallas, Texas, and Arlington, I guess. But Arkansas and Texas A&M, it's just one of those drunk games that happens every year. I'm taking the Hogs. Give me Arkansas to win, not just cover, but win outright. I'm taking the Hogs to take down Texas A&M. And it's a down week for SEC. A lot of teams are off this week at a bye week. Another game that's on our SEC football challenge, South Alabama down there at LSU. Talked to Chris Cordy about this yesterday and tried to ride it off, and he said, not so fast, my friend.
Yeah, watch yourself here, LSU.
South Alabama's a good team, man.
This is a team,
good offense anyway,
in LSU that historically has had some nasty upsets at night in their stadium, going back even to the Saban years. I know Troy's gone down there before and taken care of business. You better watch out here. South Alabama has gone on the road as a program and taken down some big boys before. And LSU is they continue to underwhelm overall. Garrett Nussmeier is carrying that team offensively. But, you know, they should have beat UCLA's brains in. UCLA is terrible, okay? And they escaped South Carolina. They barely escaped UCLA. Watch out right here, folks. I'm going to take LSU, but this game's going to be close.
I'm going to take LSU, too, but that's the South Alabama team that put up 48 points on the road at Appy State last week and the week before against Northwestern State, who is nothing to write home about. They hung 87 points on them. 87 in a college football game. That doesn't seem right. So South Alabama, we know what LSU's defense is. It's terrible. It's horrible. And so I'm going to take LSU too. But, yeah, keep an eye on that South Alabama team. Hold off on Alabama-Georgia. I want to talk about that when we come back for break. A couple of other games around college football this weekend. You have a game tonight that includes a top 25 team, Virginia Tech, down on the road in Miami, taking on the number 7 Hurricanes. Interesting game there. You do have a top 25 game on Saturday morning on ESPN. Number 20, Oklahoma State, at number 23, Kansas State. Two teams that are 3-1. Not going to say win or go home type of game, but your season is very much alive if you win this game.
Yeah, and I mean, in the flip side of that, if you lose it, you're not going to the college football playoff. There's no chance of it out of that conference with two losses. And Kansas State goes out to BYU. A game Jack and I talked about on Game Day on Wings was a watch-out alert game. We both had BYU with the upset there, and they take care of business. They come home to Manhattan, the Little Apple, Jacob, and that's a tough place to play. They'll be rocking. Oklahoma State always lets you down, ultimately, under Mike Gundy. I like Kansas State in this ballgame.
Okay, I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to take Oklahoma State. I think they get it done on the road. I think they're going to continue to put up some points. I know last week was a tough loss against Utah, but we know how tough that Utah team is. So give me Oklahoma State to get back right and take down Kansas State. Multiple top 25 matchups this weekend. We're going to find out a lot about the teams out of the ACC. Louisville, who is top 15, in case you didn't know that. Most people don't. They're undefeated. They haven't played anybody yet, so we're going to figure out exactly what they are, since their three wins are Austin Peay, Jack State, and a good win over Georgia Tech. But I think Georgia Tech was a little bit of fool's gold to start this college football season. So we'll find out what Louisville is as they take on Notre Dame, who's in the top 10 or top 20 rather. That is in Notre Dame. That's the same time Auburn plays tomorrow, 2:30 on Peacock. Why not? I'll take the Cards. I have no reason. I'll take Louisville to win and maybe, just maybe, be a dark horse out of the ACC to make it to the college football playoff.
Yeah, if they get past the Fighting Irish, they'll definitely be a dark horse. I just don't think they will. Notre Dame, that was an anomaly around Northern Illinois. One of those, I don't even know what you call it, moments in college football. A bad beat for sure. I like the Irish here. They're at home. Tough place to play normally, unless you're named Northern Illinois. And I think just Notre Dame knows, I mean, they can't afford another mulligan, especially this early in the season. But, man, if they do get beat, does Marcus Freeman start getting on that hot seat a little bit?
That's a good question.
I mean, that Northern Illinois loss, they were beaten by Buffalo last week, obviously in a complete letdown game. Golly, man. I mean, they just continually have these these head-scratching losses while he's the – whether it's Marshall or Northern Illinois. So not a must-win game for him, but, man, if he loses here, that hot seat begins to warm up a little bit.
Yeah, he was 9-4 in 2022, 10-3 a year ago. You lose this one, yeah, you're 3-2, but you're not going to make a college football playoff. And that's the thing with Notre Dame. Like, you have one of the easiest paths to make it to the playoff, and especially this year with their schedule. And, like, man – Notre Dame has a luxury. They have they literally have a special place for you in the playoff to make it every year. Just win your games. You won't get an automatic bid. You won't get to get a bye because you're not a representative of a conference. So they did actually punish them a little bit, but you have such a gimme path to the playoff. And yeah, if you already eliminate yourself 5 weeks into the season, I don't know if hot seat's the right way to put it, but fans are going to be upset up there.
They're going to heat up a little bit.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
This game, I mean, just real quick, with Auburn tomorrow and for Oklahoma and Brent Venables, you know, hot seat might be a little bit of an extreme to say, but fans are going to get rather hot under the collar tomorrow. One fan base is going to be hot under the collar with their coach. Whether that's fair or not, that's happening.
And you got to think about Oklahoma, too. They got a long way to go. Oh, that schedule just only gets tougher for them.
Well, I mean, same can be said for Auburn, but not as tough as Oklahoma's for sure. But, you know, you got Georgia at in Athens. You got Alabama in Tuscaloosa. You got Missouri in Como. I mean, that's no cakewalk.
No, it's not. One more game I want to talk about before we get to break. We'll talk about Alabama-Georgia when we come back. There's something fishy going on at Beaver Stadium up in Pennsylvania as Penn State, the number 9 team in the country, hosting Brett Bielema and the Illinois Fighting Illini. Both teams undefeated. Top 20 matchup. And Vegas, something's up here. They know something. Penn State is a 19.5-point favorite in a top 20 Big Ten matchup. What?
They are begging you to play.
They're
Illinois
begging you
right
to
there.
Take Illinois. And I'm going to do it just until I find out what in the world they know that we don't.
I mean, that over-under is only at 48. And Penn State's given 18 of those points up.
Oh.
Illinois 4-0, went to Nebraska and won a big game for them last week. Brett Bielema's got them ranked at 19th in the country. Maybe they think there's just a complete letdown alert here going.
That's a big letdown.
Golly, man. I mean, they only – you know, they're going to – let me tell you what Illinois is going to do if they just don't cough the ball up and throw up all over themselves. They're going to run the ball behind a massive offensive line, and he's going to play ball control with short passes.
Yeah.
He is going to limit possessions of Penn State and James Franklin and not let them explode on them. You can't explode on somebody if you don't have the ball. And that was his MO at Arkansas. It didn't quite work as well there, but that can work up in the Big Ten. And it worked last week against Nebraska, and, you know – Listen, I don't like Brett Bielema. I never liked him from his comments when he was the coach at Arkansas. He had some kind of weird, self-control or lack of confidence, you know, getting after Gus Malzahn, who was a legend up in Arkansas. Man, he ain't no bad coach, Jacob.
No, he's a good coach. And on the flip side, I am not sold on Penn State at all. They struggled with that West Virginia team to open the season. Then they turned around and almost let Bowling Green beat them in week two. Just so happened they figure it out against Kent State, one of the worst teams in college football, 56-0 last week. That's not enough for me, Uncle T, but I don't care that it's at night, that it's a whiteout inside of Happy Valley. I've been there. It's tough, but it's doable. Auburn should have done it a couple of years ago. Illinois can. I'll take Penn State to win. Illinois is covering that 19.5-point spread. I don't care what Las Vegas says.
Ain't no way they don't cover, according to JG. Is that a JG guarantee? Did we just get a JG guarantee, Illinois Illini, Fighting Illini guarantee?
I haven't given one of those in a while. I need to.
We sure probably use one.
334-321-1390. We'll talk Alabama-Georgia when we come back, and then the back half of the show. You know how it is. Auburn and Oklahoma. That's all coming up here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Let's talk Georgia and Alabama. The biggest game in college football tomorrow. It's happening under the lights at Nick Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium. It's the Dogs and the Crimson Tide. And man, before we get into the game itself and our picks, predictions, and everything, and the storylines and all that, Uncle Tebow, what a huge, huge matchup. I mean, it's the biggest one so far in the first 5 weeks of the season. There's no doubt about that.
Did I hear correctly that Miss Terry's the guest picker tomorrow on game day?
Yeah, I saw that.
Can we finally just let all that go, folks?
Time
to move it on along, Alabama.
Well, you're not a fan of Miss Terry?
I don't mind Miss Terry, but it's Miss Terry says the Tide should tackle better, and Alabama fans get on the airwaves and just parrot it like she's, you know, Mike Ditka and Buddy Ryan from the 85 Bears. Just give me a break, man.
She is the guest picker.
Other than that, it's a huge game. It's going to just be a wild atmosphere in Tuscaloosa. I mean, this might be one of the wildest atmospheres you've ever seen in college football. I mean, Donald Trump's coming to town. What's he going to come
J.
in and like
Trump.
A Black Hawk and land at midfield with the game ball? How buck would that be?
How buck would that be? It'd be awesome.
It's gonna be a who's who of former Georgia and Alabama players and celebrities on the sidelines. I mean, a night game in T-Town. I know some folks going to this game. They're fired up about it.
Anybody
I mean,
that's anybody,
let me tell
that,
you what,
I mean,
if,
is
if,
there.
If I didn't feel like if I saw both of those teams on the field at the same time that I was going to become physically ill. I would like to watch that football game in person.
Oh, it'd be a great atmosphere if I didn't have to go to Tuscaloosa.
So far, this is
the or Athens
game. I'd much rather go to Tuscaloosa than Athens. No. I've never had a bad time in T-Town. Athens is horrible.
I'm the exact opposite.
What a wretched town. Athens, Georgia,
the exact opposite.
Oh, they got REM and widespread panic. Ugh, it's one of the worst places on earth.
Wow. See, every time I've been to Tuscaloosa, I have just been drugged, and I mean just railed because of being an Auburn fan. It's been terrible every time I've been there.
Never had a bad time there.
Athens, on the other hand, Athens has been great. Athens is awesome. And Athens is actually a nice big town that has stuff to do. Tuscaloosa, now you do have to, unfortunately, you got to watch out for speedsters on those streets. But Tuscaloosa is just, I don't know. I've never been
Athens
a fan.
Athens and nice does not compute with Uncle T. It is a rat hole town that's overrated because REM and the B-52s used to play music there at the Georgia Theater. Whoop-de-doo! And their fans get down on all four and start barking like rabid dogs.
That part is not cool. That part's not cool. But in the game in particular, Alabama and Georgia, this line has been bouncing like crazy. It's like you on a Friday night, my man. Georgia's still the favorite as of right now.
Or on a free-for-all Friday in studio.
Or a free-for-all Friday in studio. Georgia's still favored by a point. It's basically a pick 'em right now. Georgia and Alabama, who you got?
Oh, my gosh. Bama's going to kick Georgia's. Send those dogs whimpering back down I-20. They can go stay in Atlanta and Athens and stay there forever. Them Alabama fans are going to come out of Walker County, Blount County, Coleman County, Tuscaloosa County, out of Bessemer, out of South Alabama, out of the Y. They're going to come like a horde of rabid Bammers. And all you're going to hear tomorrow is, ha, 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 ha. And they are obnoxiously going to beat Georgia to death tomorrow. Jalen Milroe is going to run up and down that field like the 295-pound defensive lineman he is. And they're going to get it to Hollywood Williams. Ain't no way Alabama loses this football game. Fact.
I'm taking Georgia. We've been opposite all day, my friend. I'm taking the dogs. I think Georgia's the better team. I think they have the better coach.
Ha! Ha!
You're done.
Have you ever been to Legion Field?
Yes, when unfortunately, they yes.
I mean, you talk about horrible.
It's bad. Yeah, it's bad.
See, that's like Athens on steroids, that area, Birmingham.
It's something. I've been there a handful of times. I saw the one and only Birmingham Iron game in the AAF.
That was awesome.
Happened one time. I still have the T-shirt to prove it. One of those spring football leagues that tried to survive and never did.
Well, thank goodness you and your hubcaps got out of that area alive.
I'm taking Georgia tomorrow. I think they're the better team, better coach, better quarterback. Georgia's just the better squad. Give me the dogs to win tomorrow in Tuscaloosa. You're done. Three. All right. We're talking Auburn and Oklahoma picks, predictions, hot takes. Who knows what you're going to get? We got 30 more minutes. Let's see if we can stay afloat here on ESPN.
On the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Well, after further review, we are allowed to still be on the radio, so that's a good sign. We did make it through the commercial break, and I don't think the GM's in today, so hopefully he didn't hear us. And it doesn't matter, because we're having fun regardless, and we hope you're having a good time as well on this free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line. And we've gotten all the other games out of the way. All the other ones, yeah, even the Georgia-Alabama game. We got them all done. In the last 30 minutes, it's you, me.
And Uncle T. How about that? Sounds like a song, man.
You, me, and Uncle T.
That's music to listeners' ears out there on the free-for-all. I'm just going crazy today. I love it. I just lost my headphones. I'm excited. It's just a fantastic time of year. It's finally, Jacob, finally turning into football weather to an extent.
Yes.
And thoughts and prayers to anybody out there that had to deal with that terrible storm. A lot of
nasty
flooding, not just on the coast, but I got good friends up in the North Carolina mountains that live up there that are dealing with it. So our thoughts are with you, and thank goodness, though, for our sakes here, not for football, but just for life, that it kind of veered a little east. So those storms are pretty scary. But it is going to cool it off tomorrow, thank goodness. Take some of this moisture out there with it, and it's going to feel more like a fall day. And that, to me, is what football is all about in here in Auburn, Alabama.
Well, speaking of football, just an update on the high school side of things. Reminder, Lee Scott is on a bye week this week, so they will not play. They'll pick back up next week. And as it turns out, Auburn High is on a bye week now. We were supposed to play last night at Moody. That game did not happen. And so we are off this week, and we will pick back up next week where we are on the road as the number two team in the state taking on the Central Red Devils. And so looking forward to that one next Friday night, but looking forward to talking Auburn and Oklahoma. Let's get to the phone lines here, 334-321-1390. You're on the line. Who are we speaking with?
Mike.
Mike, what's going on, man? How are you on this Friday?
Hey, man, this is football. This is going to be football weekend here. Good games everywhere. And we getting in the meat of the SEC schedule. That's what I've been waiting on.
You know, Mike, one thing that I've noticed about that is it seems like a lot of teams have already got byes except for Auburn.
Yeah.
You know, we probably could have used one here. And, you know, we're going to play six games before we get a bye. Three games in conference play.
That wasn't very good scheduling on somebody's part. I don't know who does the scheduling, but it wasn't very good scheduling.
I'm with you on that. I haven't really enjoyed the five games in a row either, but it is what it is, and you are right. I think that this weekend, really, with this big matchup in Tuscaloosa especially, and this big matchup in the Plains, kind of kick off the conference schedule in full.
Well, I'm going to the one in the Plains.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going too, buddy.
My son's coming in, and we're going to go to that game.
Good.
And my daughters are going to Tuscaloosa. So.
Okay. Well, what do you think about the game tomorrow here between Auburn and Oklahoma?
I think Auburn's going to beat them.
Okay. I like it.
I hope they do. I don't want to hear a bunch of Boomer Sooner mess running around and running around in town. I want them to go on in and tuck it.
Yeah, no, I understand. I totally understand. And
but I mean, this is my home, and like I said,
tell it like it is.
I take pride in my hometown.
That's right. I know you do, Mike. I know you do. Hey, have a great time.
I'm gonna ask you, Jacob. Now yeah. I want to ask you something. You was talking about Athens, Georgia, compared to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
Do you know what the population of Athens, Georgia is?
No, I do not.
120,000. You know what the population in Tuscaloosa is?
Uh-uh.
110,000.
Hmm.
And there's a lot more to do in Athens. The only thing you got to do in Athens, you don't have to do in Tuscaloosa, dodge a bunch of idiots walking around with dogs.
Yeah, you're right about that.
And running up and down the road at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
But, have you ever been to a Georgia game over there?
Not football, no sir.
No, you need to go. I want you to go to one, and I'll help you go. I'll get you a ticket. I want you to go and tell me just how nice you think them people are when they throwing whiskey bottles and everything else at you.
I'll see if I can make that happen. Mike, I appreciate you, my man. Have a great weekend.
Y'all have a good weekend.
Thanks, Mike.
Hope to see you at the game, Uncle T.
Yeah, I'd love to run into you, brother.
There you go. 334-321-1390. We appreciate Mike calling in. We'll continue on the phone lines. Andy, you're on the line, my friend. Happy Friday.
Hey, Warrior, I didn't know you had movie stars calling in. Who was that, Maynard?
We're famous around here, man.
Hey, I'm kidding. He was totally right about Georgia. Every time I go, I'm like, man, I live in a college town, and I can't believe I get blown away. But, hey, wanted to call in Monday. First, say thank y'all for you guys being stoic and able to keep it straight. I was such an emotional wreck after that Arkansas just you know, we lost, that's one thing. But again, anytime we had something good happen immediately after we got slammed down, I mean, it was just, and, you know, I know there's so much more important than football. I mean, I'm religious and then family,
Sure.
But, you know, we wait all summer. We get all excited. You know, you give us the countdown 1 month, you know, 1 week.
Yep.
And it's been a flop of a season so far. And, you know, I'm still upset about the whole parking issue. And so two things. You talk about change. I get change. This ain't a change. This is a mutation. With everything going on, every time I call in, I talk about how money is going to ruin it. Now you got this fool at UNLV. And there's too many cases. It's like you pay the players and you let them leave. I mean, what job in America can you do that with? And we're letting 18 to 20-year-olds do it. Sickening. And second, when I brought up Coach Gus, it wasn't, you know, I told y'all not to fire him. It wasn't anything like that. It was more just like to hush people up with Freeze. I'm not happy with Freeze right now, but he'll get it going. I don't care who the coach is. Give him time. Give him 5 years. Give him 6 years.
You got to give somebody time. I'm with you on that. You know, although we need some stability.
Well, yeah, and that comes with the time.
Exactly.
Who'd you have on the volleyball coach?
Yeah, Brent Crouch.
Earlier?
Yep.
You know, he brought on a good thing. Like 2 years, I didn't, you know, even Coach Pearl. He came in and did some magic with the teams he got, but, you know, he didn't start getting those great teams till year 3, 4. So,
but you could see progress.
If y'all are a Freeze hater out there,
that's the key.
Give them time and hush up. I mean, the thing I'm most upset about Monday wasn't losing a football game. That sucks. But it was the family, this family thing. I see it going away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just see so many bitter, angry people around. And unfortunately, that feeds my fuel, I'm ashamed to say. But
wow.
Let's bring it back and let's be a family this weekend, win or lose. I think we're going to win, but let's just remember we're a family because, you know, you don't fight war for your country. You fight it for the person next to you.
There you go. Thanks so much, Andy. 334-321-1390. Let's dive into it, Uncle T-Bone. Auburn and Oklahoma, we know the reports are that Peyton Thorne is set to start for Auburn tomorrow. We also know the injury report for Oklahoma. They will be without their top five receivers, which seems impossible, but that is the case so far. According to the SEC injury reports that they have to release every Wednesday and Thursday nights, and then 90 minutes before kickoff on game day. And so Oklahoma will be without their top five receivers. They're starting a freshman quarterback on the road in Jordan-Hare, which used to mean something. Auburn and Oklahoma, your thoughts on what this game could be tomorrow?
Well, I think it's a low-scoring game. Any kind of offensive shootout, in my opinion, favors the home team in Auburn. Auburn's, outside of a few injuries on defense, seems to be a little bit more healthier than Oklahoma does. You got a freshman quarterback coming to Auburn, Alabama. I've seen him in the past, but it's been a while. Mitch Mustaine and Matthew Stafford in 06 as freshmen came in and cost us a shot at going to a national championship game or SEC championship game at least. You know, I think that DJ Durkin is a good enough defensive coordinator. In fact, I think he's a really good defensive coordinator. He's going to dial up pressure. I think that Keldrick Faulk is going to absolutely feast tomorrow along with Jalen McLeod. And I think you're going to see some new wrinkles on the defensive side of the ball, including some of these younger guys we've been waiting on, Malik Blockton, DeMarcus Riddick. And I think you're going to see some different pressure packages, which you should be seeing from game to game from here on out. That's called an adjustment. That's called a wrinkle. You know, and that's what I meant when you said you should change up the offense some on Monday. Not completely overhaul it. I didn't say that. So you got to have some adjustments.
Man, that's what I heard. I heard you said they need to fire everybody in the building, can all the scholarships.
That's what I said.
The doors.
You know what? Just shut the whole university down.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
I mean, come on. You know, sometimes Auburn fans really get me when there's any kind of criticism of something to do with Auburn. They just completely throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, you want to fire him. You know, you're not an Auburn man. You know, and it's just what we do here on talk shows, guys. You know, let's get back to the point, though. There's my rant on that. I think that Auburn has every advantage going into this football game that you can possibly have over an Oklahoma program that historically is a blue blood program in college football. nine times out of ten, I think Oklahoma comes to town with way more talent or more talent than you do. It's like playing Georgia and Alabama and LSU. It just seems like they're always going to have a little bit more talent than you do as an Auburn fan. So what do you got to do, right? You got to just get hard-nosed. You got to play physical football. You're going to have to do that tomorrow. This is a big boy program. They're going to put hat on hat. They got a freshman quarterback. They're going to try and push us around in our home stadium. They saw that Bobby Petrino could play ball control. They saw that Justin Wilcox from California could play ball control. And that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to try and limit mistakes, control the ball, and keep us on the sidelines and wear our defenses out like California, but especially Arkansas did. So you got to turn the tables on that and do that to them. Keep them on the sideline and push them around. And I think the best way to do that, like I said earlier, was get Peyton Thorne in fast mode, occasionally running the RPO, the true RPO, where he's keeping the ball more and where he's scrambling around because he can do some damage with his legs.
For me, Auburn's just got to run the ball, period. Run the ball. Give it to Jarquez Hunter. He should touch it more than 12 times a game. I'm sorry. I'm not saying use him like Kerryon Johnson. I'm not saying run him into the ground.
Like
Gus.
Trey Mason 49 times
in
a game?
Yeah, but Jarquez Hunter needs to touch the football. He needs to have it in his hands. Damari Alston needs to have it in his hands. Jeremiah Cobb and Malcolm Simmons, like those guys need to be a part of the game plan. And yes, we've talked about this all week, but turnovers can't happen. Turnovers, you take them away, Auburn's 4-0. But against Oklahoma, like the other teams have, there's a little bit of a difference because with Arkansas and even California to an extent, you turn the ball over, they'll make you pay. They'll add on to the damage they've already done with their offense. Oklahoma, though, you turn the ball over and give their offense another chance, it could be the one time they need to score. It may be the two times they score all day. They don't need extra chances because they are going to struggle. I think Oklahoma will struggle offensively tomorrow. Auburn cannot give them extra opportunities because I don't think they're going to score a lot. I'm with you. I think it's a low-scoring game tomorrow. I don't think Oklahoma scores 30 points. I don't. But Auburn cannot afford to give them extra possessions because that one turnover could be the difference in Oklahoma winning 28-24 or Auburn winning 28-24.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You know, bad teams make bad plays at the worst possible time and critical moments. Unfortunately, that's what we did last weekend, especially against Arkansas. That cannot happen for Auburn to win tomorrow. And you know what? You got to get some of these young guys out there and get them feasting and not telegraph their plays. Get Malcolm out there. Get Perry out there. Get the field stretch because if they load up the box, and I think that's what Oklahoma will do, there should be some opportunities.
Let's take our final break. We'll come back, wrap it all up. Looks like we have a phone call. We'll get to that as well. Our final picks for Auburn and Oklahoma. We'll have that as we wrap up the Friday edition of On the Line after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Let's get to the phone lines one more time. 334-321-1390 and the Pitmasters joining us on the phone lines. What's up, big dog? You doing okay?
Hola, amigos. T-Bone, Jacob, how we doing today?
Doing fantastic. It's a Friday in Auburn, Alabama. Doesn't get better than that.
Great show already. I'll just tell you like this old man told me one time. You don't learn anything from the second kick of a mule. Let's stop doing the same thing and make some changes, okay? I watched the Tennessee-Oklahoma game, and I watched one drive in particular that was a 58-yard drive that Tennessee gave the ball to one number six every single play, and they went down and scored a touchdown. I don't know if you was watching that. It was after the Auburn game. I was watching it. It looked like, you know, you could do whatever you want to running the ball. So, I mean, you know, I don't understand what we're doing here.
You're saying, you know, it's a simple game, huh?
Pick the game, stop throwing the ball.
I mean, that seems to be the answer is, look, if you can't stop throwing interceptions, then don't throw the ball and keep it on the ground with Jarquez Hunter. Seems simple to me.
Yeah, as long as they don't put it on the ground, too. But, well, you know, that's either here or there.
Yeah, limit the damage with the less mistakes. Auburn obviously turns the ball over at a higher clip, throwing the ball than running the ball. Let's play a little hard-nosed, old-school 1980s football, Pitmaster, and run the ball and play some defense tomorrow and beat Oklahoma.
That's what I'm saying. Our defense has played good enough to win all these games. If you just turn the ball over three times instead of five.
Yeah, I'm with you. You think Auburn wins tomorrow, Pitmaster?
Give us a score.
Score tomorrow? I don't know if I'm with everybody. Everybody says they think Auburn's going to win. I think everybody hopes Auburn's going to win. See, do you think this sets up well for, you know, I've been watching Auburn for 50 years. This is a game that they probably will come in and win. Score 24-16, Auburn.
Boom. There it is. Pitmaster, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. Have a fantastic weekend, my friend. 334-321-1390. There you go. Pitmaster picking Auburn to win. Uncle T-Bone, it's that time. Auburn and Oklahoma tomorrow. Kickoff 2:30 inside Jernihan Stadium. You can catch the entire radio broadcast here locally on Wings 94.3, wingsfm.com. Kickoff 2:30. Tiger Tailgate Show begins at 11:30. Huge guest list, including Charles Barkley, will be on there tomorrow on the Tiger Tailgate Show. But before that, you can tune in at 9:30 tomorrow morning on Wings 94.3. Uncle T-Bone, Jumpin' Jack Cutton will be with you for 2 hours for game day on Wings 94.3. Uncle T-Bone picks Auburn at Oklahoma.
I was prepared to pass the puff here, Jacob, and go ahead and wait and tell you tomorrow morning what we're going to do on game day on Wings.
I forget you leave people hanging. My bad.
That being said, hearing that Charles Barkley is in town is fantastic good luck. He's always good luck for Auburn when it comes to football. I think SEC Now will be here tomorrow. I bet Chuck will be on the show. I imagine he'll get on there like he did in 2004 on game day on ESPN and said, Tennessee, there's a light at the end of the tunnel and it's a train coming for you. I don't know if it'll be that dramatic tomorrow for Auburn, but I do like us to win. I think it will be close and we'll hang on late. Tigers 17. OU 15.
Auburn is considered a favorite right now in Las Vegas, Nevada. 1.5-point favorite is what it sits at right now. That has moved since this morning. Oklahoma was a 2-point favorite. Auburn is now the favorite. It's simple for me. Don't turn it over. You win the game. It really does come down to that. Defense has to play well. Don't let Oklahoma's offense have a coming out party. I don't think they will. Freshman quarterback, all the receivers are hurt. I just don't think they're going to have a chance to do a whole lot offensively tomorrow. Speaking about Oklahoma, I'm excited to see the Sooners in person. This is something I talk about quite a lot. This is a romantic thing for me. I love seeing new helmets, new teams, new fans inside of our home stadium. Really looking forward to that tomorrow. Getting to take my dad to the game, so excited about that as well. And having a Friday night off. I don't really know what to do with myself right now since Auburn High was supposed to play yesterday and is not playing at all. I'm taking Auburn to win. I don't think I feel good about it, but I am going to take Auburn to win. I'm going to say 31-24, Auburn will win. They'll figure something out offensively. They're going to run the ball. They're going to score. They're going to do whatever they got to do. Auburn wins 31-24.
I'm with you. I'm really excited about being inside Jordan-Hare Stadium tomorrow and seeing Auburn against Oklahoma, a team I've never seen play in person. Can't wait to see their fans, their cheers. I remember the very first time I saw Tennessee come to town and they cranked up Rocky Top and the hair on the back of my little neck stood up and I got chill bumps. So I hope the same happens tomorrow when Boomer Sooner comes to town. And just for all you Alabama fans in the big game that are out there listening tomorrow,
you can hear more of that tomorrow morning, 9:30 a.m. on Game Day on Wings 94.3, Uncle T-Bone and Jack Cutton. In terms of us, we're back on Monday, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.